Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Changing Room Chat, formerly known as the Sunday Robcast. Looking forward to bringing today's podcast to you. Sat down yesterday with boxing Barry, Barry Healy, who is a Irish-born, London-based boxing and MMA striking coach. So I first became aware of Barry through Instagram for a couple of years now. I've followed him. And then, as it happens, he ended up becoming the head coach of Dean Sutherland, who we've obviously interviewed twice. I've been to his fights, I know him. And it was just good to see them two mix. And when I spoke to Dean in December, I said to him then, what do you reckon? You reckon there'll be a chance of Barry coming on? He kind of was our in-between man, and Barry came and sat down with me today before Dean's weigh-in. So it was a proper fanboy moment for me. I said that to him afterwards, like a gushing little schoolgirl that I was buzzing. I remember the first time I met Barry was in a Nando's after a weigh-in for Dean and Gregor. And when he was coming out, he came over and spoke to us. And when he was leaving, I remember getting all giddy with myself, being like, fucking hell, that's boxing Barry. So it was a real fanboy moment today to sit down and speak to him. And kind of without further ado, I'll let you listen to the pod. As always, a few thank yous. Nico Pods Elite, James Connolly PT, and East End Football Club for letting me host there. You'll be listening to this the day of Dean's fight. So massive good luck to Dean and Barry and his team and the whole team and family involved. And I hope that you go and do the business tonight at Ardo and build out towards bigger fights. So enjoy this podcast, and I'll see you next time. Hope you're enjoying this podcast brought to you by Changing Room Chat. This episode is sponsored by Nico Pods Elite, and we have quickly stopped for an advertisement with our sponsors. You have 30 seconds, pal. Go.
Here at Nico Pods Elite, we supply premium nicotine pouches. We operate in the Aberdeen area and supply next day delivery throughout the UK to personal customers and also to businesses. We offer a wide range of brands such as Killa, Pablo, and many other fan favourites. Find us on Instagram now at Nico Pods Elite or browse our website at www.nicopodselite.com. Boom, there you go, don't even need the full 30.
Know the feeling, brother. Welcome to episode 16 of Changing Room Chat. Today we're joined by boxing and MMA coach Barry Healy. Today's podcast is sponsored, as always, by Nico Pods Elite and James Connolly PT. And thanks, as always, to East End Football Club for letting us host here. Barry, how you doing, pal? You good?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the weather with you, bud, by the way.
I know. Yeah.
When did you arrive yesterday?
Yes, flew in yesterday. My flight was supposed to be at 11, and I feel like I timed the airports the best. I always go there with maybe an hour maximum to spare, but my mom and dad always go like ridiculously early. So yesterday I was like, I'm going to do what my parents do. I'm going to go early. So I left at 7 a.m., got to Heathrow for around 8:30.
Yeah.
And the flight was delayed till 1:30.
Oh, yeah. Never do that again. No. Stick to your own one.
Yeah.
How's everything else apart from that? How's life and that? All good?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Working hard. My little girl turned 1 on Wednesday. Yeah. So, yeah, she's getting bigger. Work's getting busy.
Plenty of birthday cake, was it?
Yes, yeah.
So, obviously, before we go on to you, we'll touch on the sort of obvious reason of why you're in Aberdeen, Dean's fight. How was everything? How's camp? Everything good?
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Dean's. I've had Dean now for, this is our third fight together.
Yeah. But
his last fight? Yeah, his last fight, he had his old coach Davey in his corner. I wasn't there. I can't remember what happened. The fight before that, I was training him, but I couldn't make it to Aberdeen. So,
yeah.
So Davey McAllister done his corner. So third fight together, but second with me, with him in the corner.
Yeah. Shorter camp, this one. He mentioned on his that he's kind of time it of, is it week per round?
Yes, that's how I like to do it. Yeah. 1 week per round. Even though this is an 8-rounder, he done the first 4 weeks here
right.
in Aberdeen, and he done the last 4 with me.
So how does that work? Are you still kind of in charge of him when he's here?
Yes, yeah. So that won't happen unless it's kind of like a fight like this where Dean's much higher favorite. You know what I mean? Let's say for his next fight in May, I can't say who he's fighting, but it's a 50-50 fight, so every week he'd be down here with me. But it just worked out good. And another reason why was because his shoulder he was still doing rehab for shoulder.
Yeah, of course.
So there's no point paying to come to London if you can't even use your shoulder properly. So
yeah. Obviously, I'm not going to try and give anything away by asking about his shoulder and stuff. But with you as a coach, if someone's just coming back from injury, Does that change how you train them? Are
Yes,
you wary
but
of it?
I just kind of won't train them if they're injured. So I mean, so his injury's gone now. He
Yeah,
hurt his shoulder.
sure.
It was from June.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, it's yeah. So it's
So
gone now.
they're
Yeah.
not with you unless they're 100%, basically.
Obviously, they got niggles and stuff.
Yeah,
Like
yeah,
if
yeah.
someone's shoulder is blown out, like, or yeah, someone's properly injured, I just won't train them. I just don't think there's a point. It's different if small niggles and happen and things happen throughout your training camp. You kind of you don't pull out of every fight, of course.
Yeah, of
That'd be
course.
ridiculous. Everyone goes into fights injured, sore.
Yeah.
But massive injuries where you can't train, there's no point. No,
Yeah.
I don't think so anyway.
So everything went good. Are you looking forward to tomorrow night?
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah.
Is this your first time at the Ardo?
Yes,
Yeah.
yeah. I've been there to the pool and stuff a few times for a little swim. But yeah, that his last fight was in the ballroom, beach ballroom.
Yeah,
So I'm
yeah.
looking forward to this one in the Ardo.
We'll obviously probably touch on it later on when we talk about your other fighters as well. But I'm going to ask, like, do you get nervous for people fighting?
Nothing at all up until just before they walk out.
Walk out.
Yeah.
Not,
nothing, like absolutely nothing. Excited, buzzing, and then just to walk out. It's funny because it's like when I coach as an amateur boxers and stuff, you don't have that buzz because you do have the buzz, but you don't have the nerves.
Yeah.
Because you have two other coaches with you. You all train that fighter.
Yeah.
So it's easy. But this is like just me and Dean or me and whoever I train. So it's like, you're so responsible for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm always confident though, because I train my boys properly, so
yeah,
I don't fuck around and train them together, or like I don't put them on the bag. I give them proper pads, proper sparring. So I'm confident going out there. I know that I've done my
You've
best.
Done everything,
yeah.
Because I would imagine, I spoke to this to Dino about it, especially with Dino traveling down to London. Like the friendship you must build or trust must be like ridiculous.
Definitely, yeah.
Because obviously, there's coaching. Coach, I know coaches and fighters, but obviously you've got to have trust, you've got to be friends. But like Dean's literally like moving from Aberdeen to London to be with you. So like that trust must be like ridiculous.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, when you kind of first said it, it's kind of like, it's a weird feeling. It's like, fucking hell, this guy wants to move from his...
Yeah.
You know, it's bad. Because usually that only happens to like the more known coaches, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Shane McGuigan or Ben Davison or whoever, Dominic Ingle and stuff. It kind of... Higher cultures where people will pay to go with them, but now that's happening to me, you know,
yeah,
which feels, yeah, which is nice. It's a nice feeling that someone wants to spend thousands of pounds in rent and food and gym fees because they feel like I'm the best for their career, you
yeah.
know what I mean? So, yeah, it feels good. It's a nice feeling, yeah.
So Dino, so obviously you kind of said it there. Dino's coming back first fight tomorrow. What you're winning them out twice the rest of the year? Three fights all together this year, was that the plan?
We're thinking nice handy 8-rounder tomorrow.
Yeah.
Title fight in May. We have the opponent, just need to properly lock that in. See what happens in kind of September.
Yeah.
Kind of time. See, maybe that might be another little 6-8-rounder, and then hopefully another title fight in November. And then hopefully that's the plan. Hopefully the September or November fight will be a rematch with Louis Green. That would be brilliant if we could get that rematch and right his wrongs, and then hopefully get signed. He needs to be signed now, Dean, to bigger promotions, TV kind of platform stuff, whether that's Frank Warren or Boxer or Eddie Hearn or Wasserman. Yeah, because he's ready now, Dean, you know what I mean? And
to catch that eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
So back onto you, like childhood-wise, was it always sort of combat sports, or was it the general?
I was shit at sports, man. I was, honestly. In Ireland, like, the...
Where in Ireland are you from, sorry?
I'm from Kerry.
Okay.
Kerry, yeah. Farmer's land. obviously the national sport is Gaelic football, like.
Yeah.
And especially Kerry. Kerry are the best team.
I will say, fuck that for playing that sport, by the way.
I know, it's tough, yeah. It's tough.
Fuck that.
It's tough. And I was always shit at it, you know what I mean? Like my cousin AJ, he was always really good. I was useless at it. The other sport, hurling, which is even more.
Oh, yeah.
I was shit at that as well. Soccer, obviously.
Oof.
Yeah.
You'll get me cancelled for calling it soccer.
I know,
here, but
we have to call it soccer in Ireland because our national sport is football.
Okay.
But I haven't called that in years because now I live in London. But it's people from Ireland.
If anyone listens, please don't hurt Maddie for calling them soccer.
Yeah. No, I don't call it soccer. I don't, but I have to now because I'm referring to football in Ireland. So soccer/football, I was shit at that as well. I was actually quite good at table tennis.
Yeah.
I've done okay in that. And I loved boxing, and I started when I was 11 in the local gym in my town till around 13, 14.
Right.
Only had a handful of fights, like five or six fights, nothing crazy. The gym I was in, the local gym, didn't go out that much and compete.
Right.
I don't know why, but yeah, so it's just I enjoyed it though. But again, I wasn't great at boxing. I don't know, I just think I was just too soft. My parents my parents are really nice people, and I had two sisters, so yeah, maybe if my parents beat the shit out of me a bit more, it would have toughened me up a bit more. But I just wasn't good at it. I just wasn't good. And then yeah, I just finished that. The club closed when I was 14, 15, and then that was it. In my eyes, boxing was done forever.
Okay.
And obviously not.
Yeah. So when did the coaching sort of come into it?
Yeah. So yeah, again, when it closed down, stuff, I didn't give a shit and stuff. I was I was whatever. I suppose I was drinking at that stage, drinking and smoking cigarettes and just being a nuisance in school. I was 15, probably then, 15, 16. Yeah, I was drinking a bit and stuff, and I didn't really care about training and stuff like that. I don't think, around that age, I don't think I was doing any sports really. I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, my life was perfect. Everything was all good. School was amazing. I was quite popular in school. Everything was good. And then I had like 4 or 5 months to go to finish school.
Yeah.
And I got removed from school for just being an idiot. Not that if I finished school, I would have gone to college or anything. Anyways, no, I had no chance of doing anything. So, and that was it. Everything changed. It's just like I wasn't kind of a popular person anymore. I wasn't like in school anymore. Next one was like, fucking hell, okay, all my friends are going to college now. What am I doing? Washing dishes in restaurants and like eventually working up to be allowed to be a barman. Like that. So it was like, it just happened so quick. I went from being popular and enjoying life and school was amazing to nothing. And then, one of my good friends, James Lennon, call him Red, mad bastard. He opened a boxing gym in Khmer,
right,
in my small town. And I actually started up boxing again. I started training. I was like 19, and I started training. And I didn't like it. I still didn't enjoy it. And I don't know. It just wasn't for me. And then he just said, why don't you just help out coaching me? And then that was it. I just helped coach. That was 2000 and end of 2012. Start 2013, was coaching with him for a while. Then he closed down that gym. He was just too busy. He was a head chef and stuff like that. So he closed down that gym. And I messaged a guy called Sean O'Leary. He owned a bigger gym in a bigger amateur gym in Tralee.
Okay.
So it's like two towns away. So every Tuesday, I used to get the bus from my town in Khmer to Killarney, get the bus from Killarney to Tralee, go to his gym once a week, and stay at my friend's house. She used to let me stay on her couch, stay there, and then get the bus back again to Killarney, bus back to Khmer, and go back to work. So that was my only day off. I've done that for a year. I said to him, if I can come with you for a year once a week, can you just send me to a gym? I didn't like, I just said to him, I was like, where? He goes, where do you want to go? I was like, I don't know, where should I go? London? He was like, yeah, why don't you try London? He goes, there's a couple of good gyms I know there. And that was it. How it actually worked out.
Fuck.
He just sent me to London a year later, and that was it.
So when did you go to London? 20?
2015. 2015. Shit. So I coached for 2 years in Ireland, and then he sent me off to London. I went to Islington Boxing Club, a massive gym in a massive amateur gym in North London.
Yeah.
So I went there. I was there for 2015 to 2020.
That's amazing, eh?
Yeah.
This might sound like I'm going to ask a stupid question, but I don't think it is. So you said that you didn't enjoy the boxing side. Obviously, now you're full time. You are boxing. Do you enjoy boxing yourself still?
Yes, yeah. Well, I remember.
Do you enjoy it more now?
Like, yes,
punching and hitting bags and stuff.
Yes, I do actually now. Like jumping, sparring stuff. A lot of the younger boys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Younger boys in my class and stuff. But yeah, actually trying to compete in it and trying to fight and stuff. I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it. I don't know why. I just sparring and fighting and stuff just wasn't for me. And that's okay as well. You know, people think like, oh, you can't be a coach. You've never done this, that. I understand that if I'm saying to people, oh, stop complaining, getting hit is easy. Shit, I'm not saying silly stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I know how to coach. Like, but if I wasn't an amazing fighter, who gives a shit? It's like, I hate that with a lot of people slate coaches because they haven't been good in that field. You know what I mean? It's like, a week or two ago, I seen a couple of this fighter, he fought for a British title and stuff like that. And he was really good, tough fighter. And he was coaching some fucking crazy stuff like, on the pads, madness. Now I would never do in a million. I wouldn't even coach that when I the first day I had on the pads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like he fought for British titles and stuff. So it, It doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference.
So what kind of appealed to you about the coaching side? What was it? Because obviously you said that you didn't enjoy, well, you did enjoy, but you didn't enjoy like getting hit and stuff like that. When you started holding the pads and coaching people, what kind of made you think, I really like this, eh? It's kind of like a personal thing, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I just found it wicked, man.
Yeah.
Just like that connection and stuff. And it's not like when they respond, like I'm talking about kids now, when I first started training kids. It's not like when they respond with like listening to your advice. It's when they say something like, is it okay if I get some water, please? Or things in between. It's like, oh, wow. It's like they're asking
me. I'm an adult.
Yeah, I'm an adult now. It's like, it wasn't just the coaching side. It was like, thank you very much for today, Barry. Or I don't know, just a few things that just made you feel a bit wholesome. You know what I mean? It's nice. Yeah, it's nice.
So do you try and, so obviously when you started with kids and you've mentioned that, see, even now with boys like Dino, and I know we'll talk about Nathaniel and Chanel and stuff, do you kind of try to be the father figure, or is it?
It works for some fighters, yes. Some it does, some it doesn't. So I've got.
So you just kind of you know who you can be.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was to use a perfect example, at the minute I've only got two pros at the minute. I've just got Dean and Louis Muldowney. Yeah. So Louis 2-0, 19, fucking pest, and Dean's 25 years old,
had switched on
16 fights, switched on, much more mature. So Louis, I have to look after him and be on him all the time. Dean is more mature than I am, so it's completely different things. Like,
Some
like Dean doesn't need, he doesn't need my arm around the shoulder every day. Some like Louis does. And Louis is fucking brilliant. We call him Junior. I can't even call him Louis. Sounds weird. So we call him Junior.
Yeah.
Junior's brilliant. Like, brilliant kid. He's possibly going to be signing with Frank Warren. He's on a Frank Warren show in a few weeks.
Love
so
it.
They're interested in him. So he's big ticket seller, popular kid.
Yeah.
Young, ambitious, and brilliant fighter as well. But he's just a nightmare. Forgets everything. Fucking... Yeah,
is he the same as Dean? Does he live in London?
He's from Ashford, just outside.
Okay, so he's not. Yeah, so he lives there already.
Yeah.
But if you still see when he's not in camp and Dino's not in camp, do you still have that relationship where you want to make sure that, probably more so Louis, if you kind of got to keep an eye on him when he's
not
in camp?
So what? But the funny thing is, with Junior, he does everything perfect. He brilliant with his food. Always early for training. Everything's perfect about him, but just silly things. He forgets his water bottle and wraps and stuff. So, but he's brilliant. He's brilliant. But I train my guys all year round. The reason why Dean's not with me all the time is because he lives here and he can't afford to spend 50 grand a year on rent. So, So if you live in London, you're with me all year. You can take a week off or a week, take 2 weeks off, but you're with me all the time anyway. I don't agree with that. Fighters just training for training camps is just ridiculous. Really, you should be training all year round, ticking over, working on things and, I train them differently as well in training camp. Outside training camp, I won't put the clock on. I leave the clock off and don't do like timed rounds. We'll just go over some stuff.
Right, yeah.
So it might not even be a hard session. We'll just do some technical stuff, go over some things and
just
be in the gym. It's good for your head.
So without going political on you, do you even agree with that when boys get to like the level of world championship fights all the time? Example, Fury, Joshua, boys like that. Do you think they should, even like, because they're fighting, when they fight, it's for millions of pounds, like ridiculous money. Do you agree that they should still be on it all the time? Again, this is all just your view, so it doesn't...
Yeah, it is different because they're doing such severe amount of media. Their training camps are hundreds of thousands. Their training camps are usually 12 weeks. And like you said, they're getting paid millions and millions. I do think some of them come out of the game for too long sometimes. Yeah. Like Mayweather always was ticking over and stuff. But yeah, I would understand more if the people like Joshua and Fury and stuff just took a little bit of time out, maybe like, I don't know, 6 weeks and stuff. It's different. It's different for them because, A, they're multi-millionaires, so they don't have to be getting back in the gym trying to get ready for another fight to make money. And like I said, their training camps are 12 weeks. They've got so many people around. Everyone needs a break, all their nutritionists, all their physio, all their coaches. Yeah. And then they're usually away somewhere as well. They're usually in a different country. So I understand more for them, but... But like, people like Junior and Dean and stuff, they're still like quite young in the game and stuff. And I think it's good to try and stay in the gym.
Take
a look.
By all means, enjoy after your fight. Enjoy a little bit of time.
Yeah, too much can be bad as well.
So back on. So then, when you moved to London, when did you start thinking I'm going to go on my own here?
I always wanted to train pros. I was never interested in like. Like, I always want to be the best at everything.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I've never done that.
You're really competitive, are you?
Yeah, I am. Like, I never wanted to settle for a normal job or to just try and be okay at something. I always wanted, like, how quick can I be the best? How can I, will I get there? When will I get there and stuff? Do you know, like when I first started coaching in 2013, I used to go on YouTube and watch Shane McGuigan holding pads for some fires and stuff. Or who was it back then? There was one video I used to always watch of, what's his name? Floyd Mayweather Sr. and Chris Eubank Jr. They had a wicked video. There wasn't that many pad videos
I've
up there.
I've seen that video, yeah.
Pads videos have come up much more recently, but Freddie Roach and Pacquiao, and I used to just watch them like, hours and hours, and just, I want to get there. So it was always on my mind to be a professional coach. I never wanted to be a coach for the Irish national team, or not that I'm saying I'm too good or anything. I'm just saying it didn't interest me working with other coaches. I want to be the main man, and I want to coach them, and I want to be in charge, and I want the game plan to be me and the fighter who we make the game plan together. I don't want four or five other coaches involved. So that was always my plan. So I think I coached the juniors at Islington Boxing Club 2015, 16, 17, and then the owner of the gym moved me down to the seniors. Yeah. So I was working with the seniors. I enjoyed that much more. I enjoyed working seniors. A couple of good boys from that gym I was helping out in that gym, and then I got my pro license in end of 2017, and that's when it all started. I started working with a man called Harry Andrews.
Okay.
And he was one of the best mentors I ever had. Really, really good guy. He was coaching Larry Akindeo at the time, Sheer Osgill, and Billy Underwood. So we had three pros and stuff. And it was funny because I was going for my license, and I rang Larry Akindeo. I don't know if you don't know Larry. He just retired, but he was like 17-1 when he retired. He had some issues with immigration, and his daughter had cancer and stuff. So it put a big stop to his career. But he's like one of the best fighters I ever worked with. He lost out on a world title eliminator against Gary Cochran.
Okay.
So he's really good. Larry, prize fighter winner and stuff. Really great guy. I just messaged him. I was like, can I use your coach as like a, can I use his name to try help me get this license with the meeting with the board? Because I thought the British Boxing Board might turn me down because I'm still a bit young. He goes, yeah, just come down and meet him. So I only went down to meet this guy, Harry Andrews, to just say, could you give me a little heads up and give me some advice what to say tomorrow? He goes, yeah, why don't you help me anyway? I was like, really? So that's where it all started. And then, we had great times down there. They were the best days ever of all my coaching career, even now with Dean, the boys. I'm the head coach and everything. Now I understand that boxing is a bit more of a shit sport and there's a lot of bullshit in it.
Yeah.
Then it was just, I was more protected by Harry and stuff. I just came up every day and trained the boys. And then I had a really good connection with Sheer Özgül, the Turkish fighter.
Okay.
I kind of took him under my wing. He was 13-0 at the time. And Harry actually packed in boxing and just went to pursue another career when he was in his 50s, just had enough of it. So I took over Sheer's career. And Sheer Özgül was my first, he was my first pro under myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that first time that you went in a corner for a pro fight?
Yeah, it was wicked. What was the first corner I done? First one for myself was with Sheer for his 14th fight. But before that, I think I jumped in. I'd done a few corners with Harry first. I think Billy Underwood's fight and Larry Akindeo's fight. Done a few corners with them, which was wicked.
Yeah.
But the first time I done it myself, it was wicked. I had done it my first ever corner with Jimmy Tibbs done my corner.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Because Harry was away with Bradley Skeet.
Yeah.
I done it with Jimmy Tibbs in my corner, which is wicked. He done the cuts and I done Sheer's corner and he won the fight. Main event MTK show in Brentwood, so that was wicked.
Yeah. So first thing that strikes me there is like obviously a young coach coming through. Your first fight wasn't your standard, your fighter's first fight.
No,
this guy, 14th fight,
yeah,
headlining. Surely there was nerves that day.
Oh, big time, yeah. I mean, my mom and dad flew over and stuff to watch the fight and stuff. It was actually supposed to be a proper 50-50 fight against Danny Connor.
Okay,
but Danny, as usual, is a fat bastard, so he couldn't make weight. We work in the same gym now, so I'm digging him out. So he pulled out the fight, he couldn't make weight, or something happened. I'm only messing. But yeah, Danny's a good boy. So that would have been a fucking nightmare for me because Danny's good. Like, Sheer's tough and like comes on the front foot and stuff. Danny's a really slick boxer. So it would have been a hard fight for me to do on my own for the first fight. But like I said, Jimmy Tibbs was there. And if that was the case, he would have helped me a lot. But yeah, I can't remember the name of the guy we had, but he was tough.
Yeah.
And he was, Sheer had to break him down and stuff. But it was a good fight. Yeah, it was good.
Love that. Going back slightly, something you said earlier on struck out at me. You said that you prefer being the head coach. Like you're the one that you like working with the coaches, but you prefer to be the one that's in charge. And that strikes for me as brave because obviously if it's just you and your fighter with the game plan and everything, if you win, amazing. But I like the fact that you've kind of went, I want to be in charge because even if it goes wrong, it sounds like you're happy to take the responsibility.
Yes, yeah. I just I like that connection, man. You know what I mean? I hate like training amateurs and stuff, and I have a really good connection with one of them, but then some other coach does his corner because he works with him too, or just stuff like that. I was like, it just always bugged me. I don't know. I was always a team player. I enjoyed coaching the boys. And again, I'm not trying to make it about
me. No, of course not.
It probably sounds like I'm trying to.
No, not at all.
But I don't know. I just loved being in control of the training camps. I love like, I don't know, like little things. Having a group chat, and the group chat is called Barry's team. You know what I mean? It's my team. It's one of my friends said to me, one of my good mates, Chad. He comes to watch a lot of my boys train. He's like a carpenter. Like doesn't really. He's not really involved in boxing that much, but his outside looking at it was kind of, one day he said to me, he said, oh, it's just like you have your little family. And I kind of laughed and I was like, yeah, that's right. And he goes, and you're like the dad. And it's like, yeah. Fuck. I didn't even think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So when did the MMA side of it start coming in?
Yeah. So that was crazy. That was 2020.
Yeah.
I got a message on Instagram from Claudio Silva. So he was 5-0 at the time in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he was like 14-0 outside the UFC. So altogether he was 14-0, 9-0, and then 5-0 in the UFC. He's the last person to ever beat Leon Edwards besides Kuzmin. Kuzmin. So he was the last person to beat Usman, fucking hell. Edwards. So he was on a he was a really good grappler, Claudio.
Right.
But he just meshed me to help me with his hands and stuff. And I was a bit like, oh, God. So he originally messaged Angel Fernandez, who I'm friends with. Angel Fernandez had moved down to Loughborough at the time to train with Anthony Joshua and stuff. So Angel put him on to me because Angel was working with Nathaniel Wood and a few of them boys before I was. So he put Claudio on to me and I was a bit like, oh. I said to Angel, I was like, what am I supposed to do? He goes, just try to keep it simple. Don't overdo it and just don't let them plant their feet and do stuff that boxers would do. Try to get them a bit lighter on their feet. I was like, okay, cool. So, yeah, Claudio came and stuff and came for the first session. And I remember he's a southpaw, so I said, look, try to get your lead foot on the outside so you can land your backhand down the middle. So we've done it. And I said, look, when you land your backhand, that kind of frees you up to go for like a single leg or something. And I remember thinking, what the hell? What have I just said? He goes, no, it makes sense. I was like, and then from then, it was really weird. It just kind of went from there. And then I was helping him like, all of a sudden, like in the space of a week or two, he was going like double jab, backhand, single leg, taking me down. I was like, what is going on here? And I just learned bit by bit. And I'd done a whole training camp with him during lockdown. And then he just said to me, oh, I'll never forget it. We went to this little kind of calf. And he said, coach, do you want to come to Abu Dhabi with me? I was like, oh, I'd love to, man. I was like, but I can't afford it. He goes, no, don't worry. UFC pay for everything. I didn't know nothing about UFC.
Yeah.
He's like, they'll pay for everything. I was like, yeah, but they won't though, will they? Like, they won't. They're saying that, but they won't. Like, he goes, you have no idea. I was like, all right, put my name down. They paid for everything. We first started off in the Marriott Hotel for 2 nights. We had to do a 48-hour quarantine. We're stuck in a room.
Okay, yeah.
Stuck in a room for 48 hours. When the presidents of UFC was trying to sit, not obviously Dana White, one of the owners of UFC representative said, if you step foot outside your room, you're not going. So you have to put your tray outside the room with your food and stuff after you eat. And when you open the door, there was one security man outside each door for each coach, for each fire. That's how strict they were. So we all passed our 48-hour quarantine. Then we got a private charter plane from Heathrow to Abu Dhabi. Then we had to do another 48-hour quarantine in a 5-star hotel, the W Hotel. You can see all the track and everything in Abu Dhabi, in Yas Island. And then, yeah, Wesley Meyer was with us. He fights at Cage Wars, another brilliant fighter. So it was me, Wesley, and Claudio. And Wesley just got a text on his phone saying, you've all passed your checks. Come down and get your wristbands. And that was the best feeling ever. We could finally leave. And then we were in the island for like 2 weeks. It was wicked. Wicked. They paid for food. Oh, I was eating so much shit. But honestly, I for lunch and dinner, I was getting dessert. I wasn't even getting food. I was just getting desserts. Yeah, we did a brilliant time. Claudio was dying in bed trying to make weight. And me and Wesley had a great time. We were fucking... Yeah,
because Yas Island was it literally just used basically?
Yeah, only for UFC. It was Dana White just booked out the whole island for himself, basically. Yeah, which is crazy. Crazy.
Was there any big dogs fight? I remember you being at that show. Who headlined that show?
Korean Zombie and Brian Ortega.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So were they all just floating about like just?
Yeah, just floating about. Hamish, Maya, and all them were there. And I spent the whole time saying, like, Wesley was like, oh my God, that's him. I'm like, who's that? He's like, oh, that legend Brazilian guy, Minotauri, whatever his name is. There's two brothers. Didn't know who they were. Didn't know who Hamza Shamaya was. I didn't know no one. So I was in the lift with DC. Didn't know who he was. That's what made it good for me. Otherwise, I'd be trying to grab this picture, that picture. Yeah. I didn't give a shit who any of them were. I only knew fucking Claudio and Conor McGregor. That was it.
That's nice, eh?
Yeah.
That's mental.
I know.
So is the UFC just different level? Just
yeah. Like... Stupid. I mean, like, I didn't even need to be there. I'm just holding pads for Claudio, who's a fucking grappler, first of all. His head coach was there, Parumpa, the head jiu-jitsu coach from ATT, American Top Team. He was there as well. Wesley was there helping with kicks. I just done like two rounds of pads a night, and I got this whole day for free. Mad. Just, I mean, I must have cost him 10 grand by the end of it, especially from food.
Just on desserts.
Yeah. Madness. Crazy money. But they look after you. It's good. You get all the free clothes, everything. Yeah, it's done. It's done proper, man. Wicked. UFC is unbelievable.
So see, like, when you went there, obviously, that even to a coach that done a heap of fights, that would be madness. But had you experienced anything like that in boxing up until that point?
No.
Like, obviously,
no.
Headlined a few shows and stuff like that with your first guy.
Yeah, no, this is different level. Just different level. Yeah. Just, I just can't explain it. Just different level.
So what is different? Like, so what is the boxing sort of like? Do you still get looked after when you get to that level?
Yeah, you do. Like, yeah, you do. You do. You do. You obviously, if, I'm sure, like, I haven't had many fighters signed to Matchroom and stuff, but they look after you and stuff, and they'll pay for your food and stuff. It's just the budget. Like I'm here now for a few days. I don't expect the people running the show up here to be paying for my food, paying for my hotel and stuff. If it's a small show and they're trying to make a bit of money, whatever, okay, I understand that. It's fine. But sometimes big organizations don't look after you as well. But the UFC are fucking brilliant, man.
Yeah.
Free food. Get your bag, all the clothes, like free accommodation, everything. There was a little thing happened where anything extra you spend, we can reimburse it to you if you keep receipts. But it was a bit of like a gray area where they're not going to. They reimbursed everything. Wicked, man. Just wicked, yeah. But they have the money to do it.
Yeah, of course. See, things like that, like going away. Obviously, you live in London. Everything's, your whole thing's based in London. See, going away for little things like going to Yas Island, it's obviously one extreme there. Going to Yas Island, coming to Aberdeen for Dino, do you get a bit of a buzz like traveling for a fight? Because you're like going away to do your job, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To like a normal person, if I was to go do my massage and someone was like, I want you to come to London for 2 days, I'd be fucking buzzing out my tits because it's like you're just going away from your norm.
Yes.
So, but you must experience that quite a lot, obviously, but you still get that buzz every time.
I do, yeah. But it feels wicked when you go away to a higher class show, you know what I mean, like a UFC or PFL or a Matchroom show or a Warren show. There is more of like a, you feel fucking special. But then again, like now I'm here in Aberdeen, it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm too good for this. Nothing. I'm delighted to be here too. And it's brilliant because you can't just get arrogant and just want to be on the big shows and stuff. And that's where people go wrong, man. You got to enjoy the smaller shows, the big shows, the medium shows,
But then for me, outside looking in, tells part of the story because, like, obviously you're up here to be with Dino tomorrow at the Ardo, which is a nice place, nice venue. I've been there for a fight. But then a couple of fights time, you could be with Dino ballroom again or even bigger.
Yeah.
So for me, like, outside looking in, it's like, well, I've been with Dino at the Ardo and we're now at fucking Tekka, for example.
Yeah.
So little things I like you're saying, you've got to do the little ones to get the medium ones, to get the big ones, to get the fucking massive ones.
Yes.
You've got to do them all.
Yeah.
And if you're with the same person, that's even cooler.
Yes, yeah.
Like you're probably going to be changing Medino tomorrow in a little room somewhere, a couple of fights time.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going to be getting
that. And it can go the other way as well. You can be on all these big shows, everyone, like, you're getting looked after, and then bang, the next fight you're on some small hole show.
Yeah.
Because you've lost the fight or... Because it just happens. Yeah, it just happens. So you just got to enjoy them all. There's no point just trying to enjoy the big ones and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a part of boxing.
Love it. You mentioned earlier on like Shane McGuigan and all that sort of stuff. If you like, you used to watch them and things like that. Have you met any of these guys that you used to like?
Yeah. I've actually sat down quite a few times, spoke to Shane. He's given me good advice and stuff.
Is he as nice as he appears? Because I love him, man.
Yeah. Shane's sound. We actually had a bit of an argument during one of the spars. My boxer Nathan Meisen was sparring Adam Azim, and Adam's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's good.
He was He was like putting his hand in Nathan's face and hitting him with some right hooks. It wasn't illegal. It wasn't bad. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I was fucking, I was just pissed off because Nathan was getting pinged with their right hands. So I said to Nathan, I said, you need to do something to him. I was like, if you get any chance, I said, I need you to be dirty back to him. Not that, not headbutt him or bite him, nothing.
One for one.
Yeah, man. Give him a little dig. So Adam turned his back, Nathan punched him in the back of the head, and then Adam Azim was like, oh, what was that about? Nathan said, I'm sorry. I said, don't fucking apologize. He's been putting his hand in your face. And then Shane was like, shut the fuck up. And I said, don't tell me shut the fuck up. And then he was like, I'll speak to you after. And I was like, fuck, he's probably going to spark me out in a minute. But no, then we just had a chat and I messaged him. We shook hands. I messaged him that day. I was like, oh, apologies, mate. We're all good. And he just texted back, yeah, no worries, mate. And then every time we go in there, he's sound. You know what I mean? I get on good with his dad as well, Barry. We both have the same name, obviously. Yeah, he's sound. Yeah, I get along. Yeah, Shane's
does that sort of stuff happen? Because like, I know a lot of people, this podcast, probably majority football and sort of ball sports. So the people that are listening to the sort of boxing ones that don't know about it, does that sort of stuff happen all the time? Like arguments in the gym?
Not too much, no.
No, it's not.
Definitely not for me anyway. I'm.
Nah, you strike me as quite chill.
I wouldn't argue much. I wouldn't argue much.
You're definitely softy, I can tell that. Anyway.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. But I don't want to argue. I don't want to be fucking swearing at people and be horrible to people. And it's nothing to do with me. I mean, I'm not the fucking one in the ring. So it's not about me. But I only go to gyms that I trust people as well. You know what I mean? Main gym I go down to is Will Jones's gym in Edge.
Okay.
He used to train Hamza Shearer for years. He trains with Harry Davies, Jordan Perkis, all them boys. Who's that young boy? He's got Tom Welland, really good boy. So we go down there, go to McGuigan's, go to, what's his name again? Al Smith's gym. Yeah. Al Smith helps me a lot. He's one of my good friends in boxing. So he's best friends with Harry Andrews, right, who I was with. So yeah, so him. Al Smith and Eddie Lamb, you couldn't meet two better people in boxing. So we go down. That's iBox gym, by the way. So they have Sam Noakes, Henry Turner, Skye Nicholson, that Australian girl. They've got some good fighters down there. So that's another gym we go to a lot as well.
I love Dino's story when he was on here, was that you sent him to go spotting and you were like, I'm not going to make it. I think you were ill.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, but the boy that's going to look after you, I trust him. And then he's rocked up and it's Don Charles.
Yes, yeah.
Didn't tell Dino at all. He was like, that's fucking Don Charles.
Yeah. Do you know what? But I didn't. Who was he? Oh, he was sparring the Fail brothers. Ben Fail and Cara Fail. Yeah, I was sick. I couldn't make it. But I didn't meet Don Charles that much times myself, but he's actually such a nice guy, man.
Dean said he was brilliant.
Yeah, he spoke to me after. He goes, you got a really talented kid there. He's really, I don't know, he was just sound guy.
Yeah.
Sound really nice guy, Don Charles, yeah.
Is there a lot, from the way you've kind of spoken the last 10 minutes or so, like, there seems to be a lot of good guys in boxing.
Yes,
it's obviously a very, like, I've seen that with, like, my little bits of involvement in boxing. People think boxing's this big, scary sport because people are punching themselves in the face. I genuinely don't think I've met a dickhead in boxing yet.
Yeah, no. I honestly now can't sit here and think anyone I hate in boxing.
Because if anyone is a dickhead, they're not going to make it by the sounds of it.
Yeah,
by the looks of it.
Yeah.
You've got to be just a good guy.
Yeah.
Because boxing's horrible enough.
You're
punching someone until they fall down. Like, that's the bait. That's the bare bones of it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a fight. Like,
I used to go play football like a Monday, Wednesday evening with my mate, AstroTurf, like 8-a-side, 9-a-side. It's just horrible atmosphere. Everyone's just horrible. And like,
everyone must have hurt
everyone's
people,
gonna pretend to fight each other and stuff. It's just like, you just don't get that in boxing. I stopped going. I was like, man, I'm not going anymore. It's just full of dickheads. So boxing, you don't get that, because if you do, you can fight. you want to give it. Yeah, okay, get in the ring. The ring's right there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you actually get it less. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's good. It's good. Boxing, MMA, gyms and stuff. Yeah, it's I don't dislike anyone. I don't hate anyone. I don't have any malice towards any coaches, any fighters. For me, it's easy.
And London's obviously, in terms of like Britain and Europe, probably London's probably the hub of like boxing. Is that like, just like, does everyone kind of look out for each other a little bit? Like, you're saying that, like, that story with Dino is that you said you weren't able to go, so Don looked after your fighter for you. Is there a lot of that sort of trust in there? Like, boys would say to you, I go to Barry, I'll trust Barry.
Yeah, after him. 100%, 100%. Yeah. And I wouldn't, I wouldn't send my boys anywhere anyway, like, for being lazy. It would only be like once in a blue moon if I'm sick or
training.
And I don't want to stop their sparring either. So like I could send my boys down to Will Jones's gym every day of the week. Like, it's just like, he's not gonna, I know he's not gonna try and poach one of them, or I know he's not gonna try and get them hurt. So it's like, yeah. I wouldn't send him anywhere where I wouldn't trust other coaches too. Yeah.
Before we kind of go more on the MMA stuff, because I want to talk about Nathaniel and Chanel. I think I said this to Dino because we're talking more about trolling and stuff like that. See, when you were saying obviously playing football and people were trying thinking, see, because you're known for boxing, like your name is literally a Barry boxing coach.
Yeah.
Do you get any trouble?
Well, the funny thing is, if when I first moved here to coach boxing in 2015, I moved in with my friend Rob Lucy.
Okay.
So he's from Dublin. And all we done was fucking go on the piss. Always, I was to coach boxing maybe once a week for the first year and just drank the rest. I just moved from Ireland. I lived in Ireland from a baby until I was 23. Yeah. I never went to Ibiza, Magaluf, Australia, America, nothing. Because I never held down a job. I was always getting fired. I had no money. My mom was always bailing me out of money. My mom and dad always giving me money at the age of 21, 22, still give me 20 euros to go on a night out. Because
yeah.
I just didn't want to work. I hated working. Unless I want, if I want to do something, I fucking love it and I'll do it properly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just can't hold down a job. So I never done nothing. And then moving to London was just crazy. It's just like, it was just brilliant. And me and Rob, my friend, we were just drinking Saturday, Sunday, having a great time and stuff. What was the question again? Sorry, my head's gone. Why was I talking about drinking? I'm sorry.
Do you get much trouble?
Yes. I'm distracted there. So when I first started going out, here I am, sorry, people ask me, what are you doing here? You're from Ireland, why have you moved here? And I used to always lie and say, oh, I'm a professional boxing coach, I train pros, even though I didn't. I didn't even have a level one amateur badge at that stage, but I was just used to bullshit because I thought it sounded cool. And I used to do that for years. Then I did actually get my pro license. I used to show it off and stuff. And yeah, I'm pro coach. Now, if anyone asks me what I do for a living, I say, oh, I just work in a bar. I just work in a restaurant.
Do you?
I avoid it because everyone's got a problem with someone to do with boxing.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you do boxing? Yeah, yeah. I used to do this. So I used to, and just like, and like, people kind of nearly want to start on you and like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, they want to fight you. And like, everyone's opinion is like, everyone's got such a high opinion on boxing.
Mental.
If you tell someone, oh, I'm a tennis player, okay, no worries. And they just walk away. But just boxing is just a sport where people want to get involved in. They want to tell you about boxing and what they done. Like, oh, I done this, like, when I was 14 years old, I done this, that, and they've got, like, fucking cocaine hanging out their nose. Like, they're around fucking 40 stone. Like, okay, perfect. It's like, well done. Thank you, mate.
Mate, that's so
avoid
of stuff.
It, avoid it. Don't even talk about it.
I don't even blame you for that, because me and Dean spoke about this. Like, I've got this habit, right, of looking at videos. Love looking at Instagram videos. When a fighter puts up pan videos, I'm excited to go in the comment section. And I don't know why I like it, because it annoys me.
Yeah.
But people speak shit.
Yes.
Like, there's literally videos of, like, Conor McGregor hitting pads and folk are like, he needs to use his right foot more. I'm like, what the fuck are you on about?
Painful.
We're literally talking about Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And there's, like you're saying, some fat boy on the sofa eating crisps out his belly button being
he
needs to pivot his right foot more.
I know, it's mad. It's mad. I never get sucked into it, ever.
Do you not?
But literally, someone put up a thing, IFL TV put up a post about Adam Azim and Dalton Smith, right? So they're like, fans are like, oh yeah, it needs to happen. So I commented. I don't know why I commented. I set myself up for an argument, but I was like, I said, there's no point in them fighting now. They're both fighting for European or British titles. They're both like 9-0, 10-0. Why would they fight now? Wait until
wait till
it can be pay-per-view and they can make millions and they'll fight for world titles. And I must have had 20 replies. No, you don't know anything about boxing. It makes no sense. We might never see the fight. And I get that. Fair enough. But I just got sucked into an argument where I'm like, oh, I'm talking to idiots here. So I just ignored it.
Yeah.
Just left it.
It's because even as soon as you started saying that, the thing that went into my mind was I used to be, well, I still am, a massive Adam Booth fan.
Yeah.
And when he had Hay and Groves. And Groves and DeGale fought when they did. But they've both said that they should have fought 10 fights there.
Yeah. They should have, yeah. Yeah, because what I think happens if, let's say, like, it'll be a great fight right now if Dalton Smith and Adam Azim fight now. But let's say Dalton Smith schools fucking Azim or Azim sparks out Smith. How can you make that fight again? One of them smashed him. If it works out like DeGale and Groves, where it was really close, that's okay because that was a really close 50-50 fight. They could have had the rematch. But if Azim knocks out Smith, how can they have that bigger fight? It demoralizes the whole dilemma of the fight, in my opinion. So
no, I agree, because like, even The only time that it's worked recently is like when Joshua fought White.
Yes.
And he sparked him. And then since then, White's went strength to strength to strength. And Joshua's came up and went, oh.
Yeah.
So they fight, were to fight now.
If it works out, yes. It can work out. Yeah.
Yeah, it can. But it's very, that's like the only situation I can think of.
Yeah.
Where that would work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever get, have you ever had any abuse on your videos rather than that?
No, not too
You don't
much.
Strike me that you would give a fuck anyway.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. No, I don't think. No, but I'm not in the public eye. I'm not training any superstars yet. Like, that's when you get abuse if you're training like Tyson Fury or if you're training Dillian White or someone massive or you or YouTubers or whatever. Then you can get a bit of stick. But yeah, for me, no, nothing. No. I wouldn't give a shit anyway.
You've said it, so I'm going to go on it because I think I've had Dean and Gregor both on. I've mentioned it both times. YouTube stuff. Do you agree? Disagree? Mind it.
Don't care.
Don't care.
Don't care. Yeah, don't care.
If one of your fighters, like, if Dino said to you, I've had this offer from a Scottish guy to fight me, would you support it? Would you?
Yeah, because he'll beat him up and get paid bags 10 times more money. Yeah, 100%.
So it's one of those ones where you don't give a fuck, but there.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I don't, it's fine, man.
Would you
coach
somebody?
Yeah. I've done a bit of work with a few fighters that were maybe interested in it before. Yeah, I would like to be known for it. That's where I feel like that would scare me to be like, let's say I started to train KSI, whatever. Okay,
yeah.
Fuck, get paid loads of money. Great, perfect. And then KSI said, oh, what about this guy? And then the next guy's like, I don't know, that Anderson Gibb, let's say. And next one, I've got like four YouTubers. Yes, I'm making loads of money, but I assume I'd be making lots of money. But then all that kind of changes your look on what, like, it just depends what you want to do. I want to train fucking champions.
That means more to you than...
Yeah, yeah. But one thing I don't like people doing is saying that they're shit and stuff, they don't train hard. They seem to train hard, man. Like, a lot of them YouTubers have become good.
Yeah.
Daily Effect, Daily Prattles, he trains a lot of them.
I like him, man.
And he's a good coach. He trains Deji and stuff, but his brother's really good, Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny from Better Squad.
Is that his brother?
Yeah, it's his brother.
I didn't know that.
He's good, man. I think he's fucking good. He's got a good jab, good fundamentals and stuff. Deji's a slick little southpaw. KSI is tough as fuck. Jake Paul can punch hard. They're not that bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. For all the problems that happens in the world, if you really want to sit there and be fucking angry and annoyed about YouTubers boxing, just get over yourself. You know what I mean?
Mate, I don't mind it at all. Like, I'm more than happy to say, I think I've genuinely watched every single Misfits card.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's some fighters that you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
But when you get to the body of it, like the main event and the couple afterwards.
Yeah,
don't knock it. Do you say that you've trained a couple of boys that have thought about it?
Kind of, yeah. I trained a couple of celebrities before. I don't want to say their names because...
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like that they eventually didn't do it. But yeah, I've trained a few of them that were interested in it, but it just didn't happen in the end, yeah.
You're definitely telling me off camera.
I'll tell you
off camera. So the MMA side, obviously, that was your first experience that you had a mentor. How did they, like Nathaniel Wood and Chanel Denier, and that, how did they start coming to you?
So Claudio used to train at ATT.
Yeah.
And when he was over in London, he used to kind of do his own thing with a couple of coaches. But Wesley Meyer, who was friends of Claudio, a Brazilian fighter who was living in London, who came with us, is trained by the one and only Brad Pickett. So that's how I got to know Brad. And Brad and Nathaniel and Ash and Gary, Nathaniel's dad, were all coming into Fight Island when I was coming out.
Right.
So Nathaniel fought on the undercard of Khabib and Gaethje the week after.
Oh, because they were banging them out.
It was back to back. So, just briefly, I didn't even see Brad, but I spoke to him from balcony to balcony, and then I got his number. And that was it. I just came back from London, and then I started working with Wesley. This is out of Churchill's boxing gym. They were coming down to the gym I worked in.
Yeah.
Wesley, Yuki, Lonnie Kavanagh. Them kind of a couple of the young boys who were with GB Top Team at the time. Then I would go down and watch a bit of sparring down in Stronger, where GB Top Team was based.
Yeah.
Is the gym called Stronger. And then, I met Nathaniel, started training Nathaniel. I think that was March 2021. Started training Nathaniel. And then, obviously, everyone knows now GB Top Team's opened their own massive gym.
Yeah.
And then I just joined the gym full time. And that was it. Just was like a whirlwind of craziness, how it just changed. Yeah.
I don't think there is, but is there a massive difference? Actually, there will be. Say if on a normal day for you, you've maybe got Dean and Louis Jr. both in, and then you say you've, for example, because it's two names we spoke about, you've got Nathaniel and Chanel in back to back. do you have to like, it must keep your mind.
It does, but again, you do it so, I do it so much.
It's like, just yeah, natural, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few times I've said to, I think I said to Junior, throw a low kick before or something like that. It's funny. It's funny, yeah. Yeah, so sometimes, yeah, but no, yeah, it's
funny. Do they spar? Like, the MMA boys ever jump in with the boxing?
So it just, I would, because they're good enough to. It's not like MMA boys aren't good enough to, but the times just don't work out. They all, they all spar each other. They all do like a massive team sparring every Tuesday, Thursday morning. We spar Monday, Wednesday, so it just doesn't work out. The times don't work out. And the styles are a little bit different too. Especially for inside work. They don't do much inside work at MMA and boxing. Yeah. It's a lot of body shots and uppercuts and stuff.
And MMA stuff's more striking.
Yeah, just a bit more distance control and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's probably going to set up, like you said earlier on, you're probably using the punches to set up a takedown.
Yes, yeah. Or a kick. Yeah.
Obviously, again, we mentioned earlier on, it's always the people who don't have a clue that comment and stuff, but they always say MMA folk is striking shit. It's striking shit. That seems to be the standard comment that people do. Is it? Or not shit, but like
some of them aren't great. Yeah, some of them. But like, it's too hard for some fighters, MMA fighters, to be really good at everything. You got it's too much to do. It's like, can you really be good at striking, like fucking unbelievable striking, and then be like a really good grappler, really good wrestler?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's hard to be fucking good at everything, man. So it's a bit harsh for people to call them shit, but
yeah,
they're obviously not as good at boxing as boxers. Yeah. And they're not as good at kickboxing as kickboxers. You know what I mean? They're MMA fighters. That's what they do. They do a little bit of everything, you know what I mean? Like someone like Nathaniel's well-rounded. Like, he's like great striking, good grappling, black brown belt jiu-jitsu stuff. So yeah, someone like Nathaniel is someone who can. It's funny because that's the safest way to be, is like Nathaniel. Just be good at everything. But then there's other fighters who are unbelievable at one thing and really lack on the other thing. Which, so it's like, it's a catch 22. It's like McGregor won, like he won all his world titles from striking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you see with someone like Khabib can beat him. People can beat him from grappling and stuff like that as well. So it's hard. It's hard.
Because we've mentioned him, I need to speak about him. So I'm the biggest Conor McGregor fanboy ever. Tattoo on my arm, love him. Irish people seem to hate him, but some people love him. What boat are you in?
I think people, it changes. I definitely don't hate him. I definitely don't think he's...
For what he's done in sport, I don't... People that say they hate him for what he's done in sport, they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
By all means, I can see why Irish people would dislike him from what... I know he loves his country. He's fucking iron through and through.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he'll be involved in politics before he's done it.
Yes,
100%, because he proper loves it. But I can see how Irish people would dislike him because partying, cocaine, what he did with Khabib, bringing up religion and all that. I can see how, but what he done in sport, man, like, I don't agree how people can hate him.
True. And I'm actually, people might disagree, but I back him a little bit on the mistakes he made, because how can you go from earning 100 euros on the dole every week, and he's from Crumlin, he's from a rough part of Dublin.
Yeah.
How can you just go from that to a multimillionaire? Of course you're going to party. Of course you're going to
lose
your fucking head a bit. You know what I mean? It's easy for us to say. None of us have money. Like,
yeah.
We don't have that kind of money. We don't understand. You're the fucking biggest legend in the world. Everyone loves you. It's like, fuck it, man. He's like, what bad has he done? I know.
Yeah.
There's that video or whatever, he punched some guy in the pub before. That's it. Otherwise, what's he done?
Yeah.
He's not a bad person for taking cocaine. He's not a bad person for partying. He's not a bad person for... Okay, I don't agree with the Khabib stuff he was saying and stuff.
Yeah.
And about religion stuff. It's not that bad, man. It's like, again, get fuck over yourselves, man. The guy's just fucking... Whatever. But as well, I kind of feel sorry for him. It's like, I don't feel like he's enjoying himself. I feel like he kind of was a bit addicted to partying and was kind of a bit lost, and he seemed a bit angry at times and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, famous people can suffer from mental health too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt like he just wasn't in a good place. But yeah, I just hopefully he pulls himself together now and fights this year. And
do you think he will?
I do think he will. I do think he will. I'd love for him just to have like 5 or 6 more fights.
Yeah, I'd be happy with one.
I
would honestly be happy for him to fight Chandler, knock him out preferably. Because like you said, he won his titles. He became who he is because his striking is unbelievable. So part of me hopes he comes out and just goes. Crack.
Yeah, yeah.
See you later on, bud.
Well, if anyone can do it, it's him.
Mate, that's the thing. And obviously, I'm so worried about it because people say I fucking suck his dick and stuff like that. But it's like, he is unbelievable. And if there's one guy who's going to come back from a leg break, have zero fights since his leg break, come in headlining UFC 300 and spark somebody out, it genuinely is that guy. Eh?
Yeah, 100%.
He gets it all the time. Chanel Dyer, was that your sort of first female?
I trained no female pros. In Islington Boxing Club, we had a big female squad.
Right, okay.
Again, that's just me being a part of the team. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose, again, I'm only a part of Chanel's team. I'm not her head coach. But I'm a mentor to her as well and give her advice. And I speak to her like on a personal level about how she's feeling and stuff, as well as coaching stuff. Yeah. So she's definitely the first I've kind of taken under my wing, I suppose, as like a friend, mentor, as well as a coach.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you, if you don't want to talk about it, it's completely fine, but you kind of said to me before we started recording the mentoring side of it, is that something that you like look to do, or do you think you're just naturally...
You've obviously
spoke about relationships and stuff like that. And...
Yeah, it happens with some fighters and it doesn't happen with others.
You don't need to look... Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot like... Who can I use for example? Like Lonnie Kavanagh, right? He's like 6-0. He's going to be Cage Warriors World Champion this year. He's like one of the biggest prospects in the country. He's only 6-0. He's only like 22 years old. I just train him and we have a laugh. I don't mentor him. I don't need to... He's quite... mentally strong up there and like just pushes on and stuff, and I just do some pads for him. Nathaniel Wood is like top 15 in the world, one of the best MMA fighters
he's
in the country.
Good, man.
He's quite emotional, you know what I mean? You kind of have to help Nathaniel a bit and speak to him about how he's feeling, and you know what I mean? He's quite an emotional guy, you know what I mean? He's such a killer. You need to put your arm around Nathaniel sometimes and just be there for him, you know what I mean? He's such a good guy, man. I love him so much. He's really one of my best friends in the gym. He's stuck by me and stuff, and yeah, he's always got my back, but it just depends what fighter. It doesn't matter what age they are, doesn't matter how many fights they've had, how good they are, how strong they are. Some fighters need an arm around them. Some fighters are just tough as fuck. They don't need any help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or they don't need it from you. They might have it from someone else. Or yeah, so it's different. Yeah, it's different.
Am I right in saying, is Nathaniel the one where Brad Pickett used to slap him?
Yes, yeah.
Does he still do that?
I don't think they've done...
If you ever had to slap him now?
No, kills me that I can't do his corner, because Brad Ashley Grimshaw is the other kind of head coach, Jimmy Top Team, and his dad, Gary, have always done his corner.
Can you only do three, can you?
Only three, yeah, unless it's a world title fight, which might happen one day. So it sucks I can't do his corner.
So what's the rule if there's a world title for
four coaches?
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'd love
Why does that change?
You know, just because it's a world title and you're entitled to another corner. I'm sure. I would just love to do his corner, because I train him and we're so close and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd love to just be there on the night. It kills me not to be there. Just not even the corner. I'd love to be in the change room. And be there. It just feels like I'm there and then I'm not there.
But
it doesn't matter anyway, because he does good.
Does it feel different? Like I've asked this before. So anytime I've had a fighter on, like Dino, I'd Pomme Bay, an MMA guy. So I always like to ask this question, right? Fighting yourself, cornering somebody and watching as a fan. It is, do you agree? A lot of them say fighting's the least nerves.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Being in the corners, probably middle, and watching from the outside is brutal.
Every
single one of them have said, watching as in the crowd, you're like, fuck.
Because you have no say on what to do, nothing. And then
do you agree with that?
In the corner, you're just kind of hoping that they're going to listen to you, but it's really down to them. And they deserve all the credit to boxers, man. That's why it's so bad when boxers get ripped off by managers or promoters and stuff. It's like, man, these guys are in there fucking... getting their head punched in and punching some other guy's head in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, they deserve all the credit, man. They deserve all the credit.
Have you had any of those fights where you just went in the crowd? Or do you kind of involve the most people that you would go watch?
I do watch a lot of fights for the crowd.
See, being in London, do you get a chance to go to a lot of fights?
I can do, but it's literally the last thing I want to do at the end of the week. Is go to the show. Unless it's a really good show and I really want to watch it. I hate it, man. I hate being around boxing fans as well. They're just knobheads a lot of the time. Just chatting shit in the crowd and just everyone's drunk and stuff, which they're entitled to be.
I would
be like them if I was at a different sport, but because I know about boxing, I've been involved in boxing for 10 plus years. I just can't listen to other people talk shit.
So unless it's a big one, you're trying to avoid it.
I just don't bother going. I'd rather just chill out. My missus would kill me if I go to shows every weekend anyway.
Before we kind of go on to the funner stuff and the quick fire that we finish with, where did the darts thing come from?
I kind of always played it a little bit when I was younger, like 19, 18. for like 2 week spells every 6 months. That was it.
Yeah.
Me and my dad used to play in the shed. That was it. So nothing, like nothing. Like I didn't even know how to throw darts. I was on holidays in Turkey in 2022, summer, just a year and a half ago, I suppose. Is that right? Is that my maths right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up to 2 years ago. And they had like this darts competition. You just throw three darts at the board. And everyone throws nine darts. So three go around again, three go around three. And whoever wins gets like a certificate and stuff. But the darts were crap and the board was too low, whatever. But I really wanted to win. And like all these kids were beating me and stuff. And I really wanted to win. So the whole holiday I was trying, right? And they'd done it at 11:15 and 1:15 every day, right? So the last day, this other guy, Barry, who I became friends with on holiday, and Adam, these other two guys. So we became friends with these families like you always do.
Yeah.
They came with me. They're like, come on, Bass, this is it. And I remember I was leading after the first three. I hit like a 7-7, a single 19, a single 20. I was like, all right, this is it. And then I won, right? But it felt really good. I was like, they call my name out. Barry Healy got the dart certificate. And I was like, I said to my missus, I'm going to start playing dart. She's like, oh, whatever, whatever. So I did. I came back. I started to get involved in a few leagues, kind of quit and stuff.
Yeah.
And then last summer, I was involved in a league, an IDL individual darts league. I was coming last because I wasn't even bothered playing. I wasn't practicing. I had five games to play on the last day.
Yeah.
He was like, look, if you don't play the games, you can't replay in this competition again because your games determine a lot of people how they finish the table. So I was like, oh, just go. I remember I went that day and I just fucking loved it. And I was like, I'm going to play every day. And I've been playing every day since. That was last August. Back then I was averaging like 35, 36. Now yeah. I'm averaging mid-50s towards 60s. I'm playing, I've won a lot of my divisions. Yeah, I hit 180s for fun. Not for fun, that's... I do hit a lot of 180s. I've hit a couple of 100 180s, definitely. I'm getting good, but I love it, man. I love it.
Does it also take you away from, obviously, your week, day-to-day, week basis? It must be
100%.
It's a lot. It's intense by the sounds of it.
Definitely, yeah. I love it, man. My favorite time is I go to the Horseshoe Pub. So I play in a league called the Cold as well, City of London Darts Association.
Yeah.
That's run by Paul Clark and a few of them guys. Great setup down there in the Horseshoe, a pub down in Clerkenwell in Farringdon. I go there, I order my pepperoni pizza, glass of Coke Zero, and a bottle of water.
Is that your go-to?
Love it, yeah. Just practice for 2 hours, listen to radio, podcast. I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mentioned it there. See, like, your week, obviously, boxing, MMA, probably long days.
Yeah.
Your weekend, you must be fucked the weekend.
Yeah, right? Especially because I work on a Saturday too, and then my missus always gives out to me because I don't help in the house as much.
So Sunday, your day off, really?
Yeah. So just chill out with my missus and the kids and just relax and just get ready for another week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it mentally draining being a boxing coach?
It can be, yeah, because that time, whether it's PTs, one-to-ones that people pay to train them, whether it's professional boxers or MMA fighters, they want you for that hour. They want the best of Barry. So it's like, sometimes it's like, like when Nathaniel trains me every Tuesday, Thursday at 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm fucked at that time.
Yeah.
I've just got to pull myself together. Just right. Come on. Let's go. Let's get ready. He's got a fight to get ready for. Let's train him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard. But you just, if you agree to it, then you got to fucking do it. You can't let people down. People pay you or you're on a percentage of the fighters. I feel like you're obligated to work your ass off and you have to. So.
Yeah. So what's a bog standard day for you? Like, how long are you in the gym?
Depends. Tuesday, Thursdays, I start at Churchill's Boxing Gym from like 8 a.m. till around 12 p.m. Then I go to GB Top Team, work from 2 till 9. They're long days. Oof. Monday, Wednesday, I will have to go out sparring first and then come back to Churchill's and work there for the rest of the day. Friday's not too bad and Saturday's not too bad. So it's honestly not that bad.
So it's Fridays and Saturdays more like people that are away to fight?
Yeah, or just PTs or...
Yeah.
So it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Tuesday, Thursday is hard because I've got to do pads with Dean and Junior all day for an hour and a half each. Because they spar on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They do a team session. So Tuesday, Thursday is the pads day.
Yeah.
And a lot of trained MMA fighters, pads, PTs, pads. It's tough, yeah. Especially if you don't get good sleep the night before, if you're not feeling great or you didn't manage to have breakfast, that's when you're like, oh,
I just started mission. To slag a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Dino mentioned it when he was on. He said that you're very good at your hour and a half with Dean, it's very much you and Dean. Like,
yeah.
You've said that if it's junior, it's in before him, or as he's finished, his junior comes in, it's one and then it's all on the person. So when it's you and them, it's fully you. Is that came from someone? Like, did you pick that up? Is it, have you just picked that up over the years?
No, Harry Andrews used to do the same thing.
So when it, when it's me and you, it's completely me.
Yeah, he always said, give them time. And that way, it's like, you don't really lose fighters as well. Like, or if you do, they might go and be like, fucking hell, I want to go straight back there.
Yeah.
Because I get looked after. Just attention, man. And just that's how you bond with them. You wrap their hands. I like to wrap their hands. They do a 10-minute skip. Then they do another little warm-up jog around, side to side, high knees. Then they do four-round shadow boxing. And then we start the pads. You know what I mean? So it's like...
And you're with them.
The whole time, yeah. Yeah, the whole time. Just getting them ready and stuff. Then we do the 6 to 10 rounds on the pads, depending where they are in their training camp, how many rounds they're doing. Little tap out in the bag, take their gloves off, get them to do their abs, and then next one comes in. So it's harder, of course, but yeah, I just don't understand how some coaches don't train fighters properly, especially when they're going into another fight in a ring with someone else. Like, you could die, man. So it's like, at least fucking train them properly. It's the least you can do, because it's so fucking dangerous. It's like,
so what do they do? Like, say Dino's coming in after Louis, what does he have to do? Does he have to do anything himself before you take him
on? No, they just have to have their wraps rolled up, put them on the ring, put their gloves there. Just have everything neat for me ready, and then I'll swap over, start the next guy. So, yeah. No, but the boy's as good as gold, man.
Everyone's fucked, bro.
Yeah, it's tough. It's harder outside training camp because they don't spar. So that means I've got to do fucking pads four times a week, yeah. But yeah, I love it, man. I've always had good boys. I had a really good boy, Nathan Meisen. He was one of my pros for years. He's 7-0 now. Unfortunately, he's got a couple of personal issues, so he hasn't boxed for over a year, but we had great times together. Me and Shir Özgül, Turkish guy, always respect for him, had great times with him. Dean Jr., Ahmed Hatim, another boy I trained, had great times with him. Larry Akindeo always was helped when I was helping with him. He was great to train. So yeah, I've always trained good boys and stuff. And the gym I'm in, Churchill's Boxing Gym, is owned by Sam Mullins. He trains Chev Clark. He's got his young boy, Harry Mullins, Joanna. He's got a good team, and him and Obed train his fighters. So yeah. Obed is Chris Congo's brother. He used to fight on GB and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Annoying fucking pest. He annoys the shit out of me, but I love Obed. So we have great fun in the gym as well. Sam's a great guy. He's a great coach. He's got a good team. I've got my team. And then we help each other on fight night if we need it and stuff. So yeah, it's good. It's good.
Have you got any no-nos in your, like, if you're one of your fighters?
Yeah. I'm strict. Yeah, I am strict.
Are you?
Yeah. You have to be 50 minutes early.
50 minutes early.
But do you know what? I've forgotten about all my no-nos because the boys are good as gold.
They just do it.
Except for Junior drives me mad, but the boys are good as gold. Yeah, so it's easy to work with them. I've gotten, like, I used to be fucking crazy, really strict and like horrible punishments, and like now I'm nicer. I'm softened up a bit.
So what's one thing that would proper piss you off? Lateness.
Consistent lateness, yeah. But if Dean says I'm half an hour late, I wouldn't even blink an eyelid because he's never late. Yeah. Junior's never late. I don't know, but what? Ignore it if they don't answer the phone. Some shit like that annoys me. If I need to speak to them quickly about sparring or something, and they don't answer it, and then they'll text, "Oh, missed your call." I'm like, fucking ring me back. Answer the phone. That's one thing I hate.
Okay, yeah.
I hate that. Answer the phone. But again, they don't. Junior's so bad with his phone. Dean's good with his phone. But Junior, honestly, just like, I don't know why he has a phone. He has an iPhone like I do, and everyone else does. He tries to say, "I don't see that. I didn't see the missed call." What do you mean you didn't see them as call? You have an iPhone. Of course you've seen them as call. But yeah, that's it.
So we're going to finish with a bit of fun, the quick fire stuff. Favorite boxer?
Floyd Mayweather.
Just defensively?
Best of all time, yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Just
No contest for you?
No. George Groves is my favorite British boxer of all time. I love George Groves. Yeah. But yeah, Floyd Mayweather.
Have you met George?
Down McGuigan's gym before, but I just got a picture with him. But I never spoke to him.
No, just left alone. Fanboy.
Yeah.
Favorite MMA fighter? Now that you start to like MMA, you understand it now.
Brad Pickett. 100%. 100%. 100%.
Favorite darts player?
It's definitely, again, because I'm new to darts, it's changed a few times, but I would say Luke Humphreys. I love the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just cool, man. I don't know. He's just different. He's not always in the limelight. He's not your classic loud kind of darts player who's screaming, shouting, just gets off with his work and stuff. Obviously now he's world champion and stuff, but even, yeah, last year before he won all them stuff, I always liked him, man. He's just quiet and different.
What do you think of the new guy? Is it
Luke Littler? Yeah, brilliant, man. Brilliant, yeah. If anyone doesn't like him or doesn't think it's good, he's just fucking jealous, whatever. He's brilliant, man.
I seen, what was it he was getting abused for when he won? He was in celebrations or something. and Fogg just changed.
Yeah. He'll end up being hated somehow.
I've got no doubt in my mind Fogg will hate him.
Yeah, for nothing, for no reason. But fuck it. It seems like he doesn't give a shit anyway. Seems like he doesn't
16
care.
Years old.
Yeah. 17 now.
17 now. Yeah. But what the fuck?
Know, madness.
What's your favourite fight? Your favourite fight you've been involved in?
Oh god, there's a few.
Yeah. We've got heaps of time. Feel free, fire away.
A couple of amateur ones were really good. I had some good boys in the amateurs. There was one fight with this young boy, Kyron Hughes. He was only 14, 15 at the time, but we went to their show and I was in his corner with his younger brother and he was like one round down. It was just wicked to see a little 13, 14-year-old come back and like win the fight. Like, it was wicked. Yeah, that was a good fight. Sheer Osgood, we fought Sam Antwi. That was a war. We lost that fight. That was a great fight. Tell you what, it was a great fight. MMA with Sean Frazier. He fights out at GB Top Team. He just had his pro debut in Liverpool. And the guy was huge. Sean got smashed the first round. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And he came back and like just stopped him with elbows, like ground and pound the last round, 30 seconds ago. Unbelievable fight. That was a great fight, yeah.
How did you enjoy your fight at the bottom, Dean?
Brilliant, but Dean wasn't great for the first five rounds, so I was stressing. Because that was at a lower weight, and Dean's moved up weight now and stuff, and his legs weren't there, and it just it was a disaster. But he got him out there in the end. So Dean can, if that can be his worst performance, and he can get someone out of there and stop him, then that shows how good he is.
Yeah.
That was good.
What did you think of the ballroom, man?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. It's like the Aberdeen York Hall.
Yeah, it's mental. So I've added two questions in that you haven't actually seen yet.
Okay.
Favorite other coach? We've kind of spoke about it briefly, but if you had to pick one.
MMA? Boxing?
Boxing. Preferably. Or both. Give us both.
Boxing. Freddie Roach. Love Freddie Roach.
Yeah.
He's my hero, Freddie Roach. Definitely.
In terms of what, just how he carries himself,
everything. I just love him, man. I loved watching him growing up, and he cares about his fighters, man. He would fucking argue with anyone, just to get his fighters over the line. Yeah, Freddie Roach, 100%.
What about a British one?
British one. Boom, 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 boom. Let me think what coaches I like. Obviously, I don't just want to say the best coach.
No.
I don't just want to say Ben Davison or McGuigan or whatever. Other coaches,
mate, I fucking love Ben Davis.
Yeah, he's a great coach too. Yeah, great coach.
Does he not? We obviously spoke about it earlier on. He came from no background.
I don't think so.
I read somewhere. I'm sure he was like box fit or boxer size or something.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, but he's a good coach. People are always trying to say he's full of shit, of course, because he's good. If people slate you, you're good.
100%. Yeah.
I want people to slate me. Obviously, I'm not good enough yet. I suppose I'll have to go. People like Ben Davis and McGuigan, they're all top coaches. And Will Jones and like Billy Rumble, they're other coaches who don't train world champions, but they look after their fighters.
Of course.
That's what I like about Al Smith. Again, I have to mention Al Smith. So there's a few.
Have you got a favorite MMA coach?
Not really. The boys that like Ash and Brad are good coaches.
Good coaches.
Yeah, they're good. I suppose Brad. Brad and Ash, good coaches, yeah.
What's their favourite venue you've had a fight at?
Oh, that's a good question. We went to Florida for Mark Giacchese, fought Michael Johnson 2 years ago in the UFC. That was wicked. I can't remember the name of the place. That stadium was fucking wicked.
Was that stadium, was it?
Yeah, that was wicked. Or... PFL Paris last year, that was wicked.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was packed. It was really good. Mbappe and all them were there as well. That was Chanel Dyer fought that night. That was wicked. Yeah,
Mbappe and all that in the crowd.
Yeah,
right?
They're all, Mbappe was there. Hakim was there. Hakimi was there.
Yeah.
Dembele was there. That was wicked. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
that
it. Wicked, yeah. So I've got two on this one, right? Favorite ring walk. But I'm going to give you two. So one, what's the favorite ring walk that any of your fighters have walked out to?
Nathan Meisen's debut, he walked out to Blanco Brown, the get up.
Okay.
Gonna do the twos there. We love that tune, so he walked out to that one. Yeah. He kind of done that for me. He's like, Baz,
this is for you.
And Louis Jr. Walked out to Levels, Avicii. Oh, that nice. Was wicked.
Yeah,
that was
that's a good one there. So these last three are all hypothetical.
Okay.
Okay. So Barry Healy's now back to being a boxer. You're now a fighter again.
Okay.
What ring walk are you going out to?
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, best song ever.
Stick to it.
Yeah, 100%.
So you've went and had a fight again. You've won. You've went and sparked somebody out. What's your post, like your post match meal?
Post match meal. Oh, McDonald's.
Yeah, man. Come on,
Mackey's. I can't think. I'll go with Mackey's. Yeah.
Did you do anything in general? Like if say tomorrow night, you know, goes and has a big win. Is there anything that you would
nothing
like to go
general,
do?
Nothing in general. No, I like Nando's.
Are you quite chilled after, even after fights and stuff? Like, say Dino fights tomorrow. Do you like to go for a beer?
No, yeah. I don't really drink anymore. No, I don't drink unless I'm going out to have like a proper drink up. So I don't really, I just kind of gave up drinking really.
So,
I'm quite chilled. Yeah. Obviously, unless it's a big fight, you win a title on a big show, whatever, of course, then you're on more of a buzz. But
yeah,
it's work now and we're here to do a job and stuff. So yeah, it's on to the next one.
So how would tomorrow night look like if Dean goes wins? Just chill.
Yeah,
spend some time with Dean.
Yeah, just chill. I think he'll go home to his missus and stuff and spend some time there. And obviously, I won't be invited back to the house.
You'll be chucked out by someone walking. Yeah,
they miss their own personal stuff. So I'll leave him to do that. I'll leave him to the baby making, and I'll just go home and have a pizza.
And then you go home Sunday.
I'm going home Sunday. Yeah. My home Sunday. So. Back to see my little baby,
love
and
it,
my missus and my two stepdaughters. And
I like that because big smile on your face. And
yeah, I'm excited. I'm so happy I came Thursday, not Wednesday, because it was my daughter's first birthday on Wednesday, so I got to be there for that, which is nice. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Last one. So you're back to your boxing career. You've walked out. You've won. You go for an after party. Someone gives you a microphone, karaoke song.
Karaoke song. Okay, I can't pick Mr. Brightside again because that was my walkout tune. fuck. I would pick Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, I would, because I know all the words and it's a good sing song. So like, yeah, if you had to put me in the spot, I would have to.
Who's in charge of the tunes in your gym? You.
Oh no, man. Obed from January till fucking December plays best of gigs all year round. Honestly. Painful. Every once in a while, I manage to nick it off him, but he just plays best of gigs. Honestly, it's painful.
Mate, thank you so much for spending time with me today before the thing. Hopefully, Dino's fight goes the way we want it to. 100%. Hopefully, we see you back in Aberdeen a few times the rest of the year.
Definitely.
And look after yourself. Thank you very much.
Top man. Thank you, mate. Thank you.